brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to another famous suds segment.
Famous.
What are we famous for, though?
Famous for our beer reviews.
Temporary restraining orders.
Famous for that, too.
I thought we were famous for being famous.
Oh.
We are famous for being famous.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a small club in Norway that walks around going, hate those guys.
It's not that small.
Sven, do you not like the people from Sipsas and Smokes? No, I don't like them. Say, I'm not famous.
Number one, was that a terrible episode?
Yes.
Well, believe it or not, this is another sud segment. And our mantra of the day is... drink, belch, and repeat.
Every day.
All day. Every day.
Yes. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Mike.
Yes, despite the 18 and a half temporary restraining orders, I have returned.
You have a half a restraining order?
Well, see, it's these people that are under 4 feet and they can't like file a full restraining order from, you know, Greenland. And so... if they get to full, you know, height above 4 feet, then it'll be like 19 restraining orders. So, you know, that's why I'm there at the half.
Mike's not very big with the pygmies.
Yeah.
Wow. Reverend
and
Mark.
Now Dave can join me on some of those. So I'm so glad we'll hang out at the same place, Dave. You'll bring the beer, right?
Banned once again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Reverend Mark, hello.
So good to be here on this Communion Sunday.
Wait, what are we drinking?
Whatever you like.
More wine!
Best church ever. Good old boy Kendall, hello.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here. How are you?
I'm good. Wonderful. I'm good.
So I just want to point out that we have all done this like in a Western PA kind of style so far, so... you know, that should be a clue about what we're going to talk about today.
That's right.
We were all saying we could all talk in a Western PA style.
How Yoon's doing?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
There yes. we go.
That's it.
Hate the Buckeyes.
But love the Bucks.
Yeah.
Go Pirates.
Nice.
Good boy, Dave.
Can you dig it?
Dig what?
It.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. The big it. I like it.
That's what they called me in high school. The big it. Not the bigot. Okay. The big it.
The big it.
Is wow. that the Stephen King it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a clown.
Yeah. I could see the. Oh. Wow.
Yeah. It needs a rim shot.
He's here all day, folks, too. Lucky us.
Oh, love the matinee, Dave.
Come for the second show. It gets a little blue.
Well, I'm good old gal Juliana, and today we're going to do a brewery takeover. We are going Woo-hoo. Back to my home state of Pennsylvania.
But this just isn't a story about Pittsburgh.
Exactly. It's more than just Pittsburgh. Voodoo Brewery is an employee-owned brewing company headquartered out of Meadville, PA, on the western, or otherwise known as the wrong side of the state. But we still like them. Honest. They also have locations in Homestead, Erie, Cleveland, not the one in Ohio, folks, the one in Pennsylvania, New Kensington, Grove City, State College, and Indiana, the city, not the state. But before we go any further, this sud segment is brought to you by
the Law Offices of Scratchers J. Scratcherton,
Are you a kitty or a puppy who identifies as kitty? Do you need an attorney? Come on down to the law offices of Scratchers J. Scratcherton. Scratchers J. Scratcherton, attorney at law. She'll fight for her clients and give injustice the claw. Scratchers J. Scratcherton is not licensed to practice law in any of the 50 states.
So how do you know that you're showing up to the wrong side of the state? I'm envisioning it's like you pull through a toll booth and they go, "Welcome to the wrong side of the state, $2. You know, it's like, do they say the opposite when you're driving back the other way? Welcome to the right side of the state, $2.
Well, I'm sure if you're born on the eastern side of Pennsylvania, such as me, we have always had this notion that the west side is like, you know, meh.
Or a billboard or something that informs you of, you know, where you're at geographically in PA. There's got to be something like that.
Like, I feel that both western and eastern Tennessee are the wrong sides of the state.
Yeah, it's like,
we have a definite middle. I don't know if there's a middle. Right. Is there a middle?
State College would be the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nothing bad ever happened there.
It's like we leave it to Cracker Barrel to decide where the South is declared, because they only serve sweet tea in the South. So you've got to let wherever Cracker Barrel decides to serve sweet tea to determine where the South is located. So
that's a good move.
I think there's Cracker Barrels in Western PA.
Yeah, but they don't serve sweet tea there, see?
No, that's what they I'm don't. Saying.
Yeah.
They don't?
No.
Wow.
You've never noticed this?
That's weird.
I don't drink
Have
sweet
I
tea.
Have I provided a life learning lesson for you today, Kendall?
You can get beer and wine at Cracker Despite Barrel.
Despite your T-shirt, so.
You but now, does Cracker Barrel serve sweet tea in southern Florida? Because that's really the north.
No, they don't.
But northern Florida is the south.
So yeah, there you go. They do, yes.
Okay. I'm very confused.
I'm saying that if you have trouble with geography, where you need these things in life that tell you that you're on the wrong side of the
like
state.
Markers.
Right, yeah, like a toll booth.
And there's something about sandwiches in Pennsylvania, like they call them one thing in western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they call everything Pramadis in western PA.
So that's all you need.
That's all you needed anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know you're
more
on
fries.
The wrong going in the gravy. Direction of the wrong side of the state if they only take it the toll booth. Silver certificates.
Yeah, it's not called poutine. It's just called fries with gravy. Yeah.
You want gravy on fries?
Yeah,
gravy fries. I like that.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. All right, good old boy Dave, why don't you give us some background on Voodoo Brewery?
Well, you actually already said everything about them in your intro. They are in Western PA. They make beer. They're employee-owned. They have several locations, you know, yada, yada, yada. I did spend several excruciating minutes digging into the history of Meadville.
Excruciating?
There are no
Meaders. Use copy and paste at least three times.
There's no Mead in Meadville. It's like there are no Who's in Whoville.
Sounds like an opportunity.
It does sound like an opportunity. The Meadville Meadery? Come
are
on, man.
Are there any bees there?
You just print money.
There's got to be bees there.
Hmm. This could go down as Dave's best background. It was brief. It was almost informative.
I read most of the words
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you got all the big words right.
Yeah. I'm going to give myself.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us today's lineup?
The Voodoo Brewery beers we'll be tasting today are the Golden Sour, a 5.3% tart golden ale.
Yay.
The Good Vibes, a 7.3% West Coast IPA. White Magic of the Sun, a 7.3% Belgian white ale. We have a 7.5% American brown ale called Winona's Big Brown Ale. And a 9.2% fruited Belgian style triple called Voodoo Love Child.
Love Child!
And finally, Tranquil Breezes, a 5.5% West Coast American pale ale.
All right.
I think the ghost of Diana Ross just screamed when Mike sang that.
Yeah, well, she lives, you know, on my side of town, so, you know.
The good side of town.
I have seen her and her kids, you know, occasionally, so she comes up to me and says, don't do that.
don't you ever.
Never, never. Well, thank you, Kendall. Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
All righty. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. give me anything but a Bud.
Or an Iron City.
Number two, was that a belch? Number three, what a relief. Number four, a body should really not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
You know, Reverend Mark really reads the suds ratings with a lot of gusto.
Yeah, that's what I come here for. My monthly gusto.
I think he did that one for the Gipper.
Yeah.
Come on, yeah, man. Yes, that's yes, I get applause for that, yeah. Don't I? I mean, you know.
I don't have that button.
You don't?
I'll give you.
All right.
So we were talking about this in the break before, but I thought this was interesting that this brewery franchises different.
Well, they say open your own location on their website. So yeah, like if you wanted to be a part of the Voodoo Brewery establishment, I guess you could potentially open up a location in your town in Western PA.
Well, that explains why they're in so many little towns. They're I was wondering how a small brewery is so scattered around Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So how do they decide whether they will let you be?
You got to have that green.
Do they kill a chicken and look at its entrails?
Write a check, be a brewer.
You doing some kind of voodoo with them fish heads?
Yeah, no, that's it.
That's a good question, everyone. I'm sure there's an application, you know, a couple of forms to fill out.
How many fish heads you got?
And yes, some entrails.
Yes.
Well, we'll get to the beer after this brief interlude.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Hey, so today's brewery is a brewery, or today's episode is a brewery takeover, and we're talking about
on the Voodoo. Wrong side of the state.
Exactly. And we're talking about Voodoo Brewery in Meadville, among many other places. So the first beer that we're going to talk about today is the Golden Sour in the bright yellow can.
Make sure you pronounce it sour.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bright, crisp, and tart golden ale brewed with wheat and spelt. It is sessionable and has notes of stone fruit, citrus, and red apple.
Huh.
How is that spelled?
Wow. And it's 5.3%.
Yeah, this puts the A in apple for sure.
Yeah.
I kept on hearing like a kid's cartoon the whole time I was drinking this. Like, enjoy this juice box, you know, because it was definitely pure juice box city, you know, from my perspective. It was sweet, not crispy. I did not like this at all. Mm. This was actually the worst beer of the flight. Mm.
I found it to be a lot more one-dimensional when it was cold. Mm. As it's warmed up a little bit, I am getting some, I guess, malt backbone or something going on there.
You mean beer?
I got a little apricot in the nose, but yeah, on the tongue, it's all apple. And yeah, juice box is an apt description. There's a little bit of tartness there, but
I prefer
not
a
lot
pink
enough.
Straw.
And I like the pH balance myself, but that's where it ends. I was intrigued by the fact.
Wow.
I was intrigued by the fact that it has ancient grains in it, but it did wind up tasting kind of old.
Wow.
But
seriously, folks, Yeah, juice box. I'm with you. Juice box.
What do you think, Juliana?
Well, yeah, it's a little juice boxy, but I do get... I'm like trying to think of a song, but anyways, it's got a little malt backbone, like you said, as it warms up that kind of like helps soften the appliness of it. Yeah, it's meh. Yeah.
I just feel like if it had a little more carbonation too, it might have a little zip or pop to it.
Yeah.
But it was almost, by the time it's, you know, been in the glass for 15, 20 minutes, it's almost still. And that's really where the juiciness comes from, is there's no carbonation to, you know, just give it a little zip.
A little extra bite.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we ever had a juice box blind tasting.
This summer.
Yeah.
Coming up. Summer 2021.
I think this would be perfect for the nephew. It just won't shut up.
Wow.
We would not condone giving alcoholic beverages to Uncle small
Mike,
children.
Why has my kid been
unless
asleep?
Unless they're your own.
Well, you know, sour ale, Benadryl, you know, I mean, come on.
Wow. Okay. Well, we rated the Golden Sour from Voodoo a 3.
Not me.
Under protest.
Hated it.
Wow. All right, let's get some good vibes going. Haha, get it?
Wow.
Good vibes, is there... I don't think it was that
bad. I had to throw
bad.
The flag. I'm sorry.
Got a Beach Boy song in my head now.
It's their Totally Righteous West Coast IPA. It is, they hopped it 5 times in the kettle and then double dry hopped it with gnarly amounts of Galaxy Amarillo and Mosaic to produce a bodaciously dank tropical fruit noted beer.
Wow.
Yeah.
They got all the Jeff Spicoli words in there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was bracing myself for something amazing.
Well, I think every time I see that somebody made a West Coast IPA, my brain immediately goes towards Green Flash, you know, and thinking, you know, where is this going to be, you know, in the hallows of Green Flash, you know, West Coast IPA. And there are a lot of great West Coast IPAs. I mean, there's a bunch by, you know, Lagunitas and Sierra Nevada that, sure. you know, are all really, but for some reason, that reference standard. So that was the thing I had, you know, coming to my mind. So the first thing I wrote down is great hop blend.
Yeah.
I really liked, this was one of the ones I thought they had really good command and control of the hop blend. I think they have made this like about 6,000 times. This beer was totally dialed in.
Yeah. This is one of their core flight. Beers.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best of the flight, and I wouldn't just compare it to those classic West Coast IPAs, because if you look at those,
they're not as piney.
They have a little more pine, a lot of caramel.
Yeah.
This is one of those modern IPAs where the grain bill is very light. The hops are prominent, but the hops were used really well. It had those classic, especially you start throwing in Amarillo and Mosaic and Galaxy. It's just you get all the classic citrusy notes. It was a big grapefruit, a little bit of orange, but I was missing the pine and the caramel I want in a true West Coast.
Well, I think because the IBUs weren't quite as heavy in it, they didn't have to use the caramel malt, or like maybe they backed it off.
Yeah, a lot of the hops came on the end, right. So they didn't add any bitterness. So
but there was a nice bitter to it.
It's supposed bitter and sweet on the back end.
Yeah,
It's
a well-made beer.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Very tasty. But when anybody says West Coast, I tend to think of those, like with the caramel malt and stuff. What do you think, Juliana?
I liked it a lot. I'm not the biggest West Coast IPA fan, but I like the balance on this. I like the fact that it was hoppy throughout. A little bit of sweetness on the end, not too much.
Yeah.
Because some of those big West Coasties get that really weird caramely end to it that just kind of always throws me off.
Yeah.
This one didn't have it, which I really enjoyed. And I could get the grapefruit pithiness, but not overwhelming. And I just thought it was a solid beer. Mm-hmm. And like Mike said, it's dialed in.
7.3%. That's pretty good ABV for an IPA too.
And I didn't, but I didn't pick the up the higher alcohol.
Not at all.
Yeah, I really it's very elusive.
Yeah. I don't think it was distracting.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I think it was about right where it needed to be.
But you know, there are some, like, I think of Anchor Liberty, for instance. I mean, that's a really, really old one, but I mean, no crystal malt. And so some of the West Coast are this way.
I think it was more of the big hop bombs,
right?
You know, because they had to add something to offset the huge IBUs and, like, just the super bitter beer, you know?
Yeah, I think it's something like Celebration. You know, there's some good solid maltiness to that beer.
Yeah, even
though it bitter is I'll get out too.
And some of the Firestone Walker stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Well, I thought this was great, and we rated Good Vibes from Voodoo Brewery a 4.
Well done.
Now go to that voodoo that you do.
Wow. I almost forgot about that clip.
Aww.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
And speaking of voodoo that you do, or voodoo that they do, let's talk about White Magic of the Sun.
No magic.
It's their voodooized version of a classic Belgian white ale. It's a spice wheat that's fermented with their proprietary Belgian yeast, then conditioned on coriander, juniper berries, orange peel, and a unique peppercorn blend.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
Resulting in a spice-forward interpretation of the time-honored classic.
Yeah, not spice-forward. And that's part of the big problem here.
It's dull.
It starts off incredibly sweet. And there is just, it gets out of balance and out of whack just really fast. And that sugar just doesn't give up, you know, for the entire taste profile. And yeah, to say this is a classic Belgian wit is insulting the rest of the people that are making a classic Belgian wit.
Well, and I think the sweetness is what does that, because it, you know, it's, I wrote that is semi dry at best, and it really needs to be very dry.
Yeah.
I think though the addition of the juniper berry, you know, it took me back to scene 19 of The Life of Brian when they're following him in
the desert.
Would you like And the those that are following his shoe are asking for food in the desert, and he goes, "I'm not the Messiah, but there's a juniper bush," and they go, "It's a miracle." So, it kind of took me back to that scene at least.
Nice.
So it salvaged something out of this beer.
It's expired and gone to see its maker.
Wow.
I think of everyone at the table, I really love wits.
Yes.
Because I know some of you aren't big wit fans, but when they're done well, they're a fantastic style of beer. And I think this is a witty beer, and I don't mean that in a good way. It's kind of got a little bit of what you want out of a wit beer, but it's just kind of wit-ish.
I think if Mike could live his whole life witless, he would be so happy.
I'm sorry, Yonder. I am witless. Please don't take that motion into order. Dave says I'm not qualified.
Wow.
But also the color we're talking. It's a little bit too dark.
Oh yeah, it's
too dark. Yeah. And so I'm always looking for cloudiness and kind of some indication that it was. It was made with unmalted wheat.
Yeah.
A little more yellow than gold is what I want to see. But overall, I almost wonder, is this just a great batch? Did we get an off batch? Because a wit should be something that
you could
should
nail
be light and crisp.
All day long.
Yeah. I would like to try it. I'd like to give it another shot in a few months, see if it's the same or if, you know, they cleaned it up.
Yeah. Well, if I had to, you know, tinker with this, I would definitely kick up the peppercorn for sure. And I would back off on the coriander.
I have to say, I think this
actually,
is one of their core beers.
It just doesn't feel like it's fully attenuated. I mean, it feels like they just declared victory, you know, and the timer went off. And I never even looked at the. Like,
yeah.
I never looked at the OG. It hit some gravity number. Nobody tasted it or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I think if you would back down the sweetness on this, some of those spices would stand out a little more.
Yeah, I agree.
It overwhelms
way out of balance.
Well, and I think also the ABV is out of character. I mean, you know, it's 7.3%.
That's big for
that's really too big for a white ale.
Well, but they did say in the description that they voodooized this beer. So they've upped the ante on it.
So they screwed it up?
They've just made a bigger, bolder
version. Welcome to the wrong part of the state where we don't know how to make a Belgian wit.
I think they did some they did some hoodoo instead of voodoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I get a lot of the spices. Now, granted, I'm not the biggest wit fan. And
that's why she married me.
It's very caramely for me. It's very sweet for me. But if it's they like were almost, what, a spice cookie?
Yeah.
Because the spice is still there. It's still lingering in my mouth. Mm. But if they were going for something that was bigger and bolder, then they've achieved this.
I thought spice cookie was Dave's dancer name.
Oh.
And you know this how?
Kendall's a very good tipper.
I follow Spice Cookie on Instagram.
At Spice Cookie 73.
I like that. That's good.
But to me, if they were going to up the ante on a white ale, the one that I gravitate back to, which is no longer being made, but it was Pierre Celis put out the Grand Cru this time of the year, and it was a high gravity white ale, and it was perfectly made. So,
oh wow, I'm sorry, yeah, that's a blast from the past.
Scrimshaw at table 7, please, because that's what I would,
I think
I would pour this out, pour the Scrimshaw on the glass. So,
but I think like too, if it's going to be higher gravity, it should still dry out.
Yeah,
you know, and it's kind of like Mike said, maybe. Maybe that's they were trying to, but they just didn't let all that sugar.
That's what I think. Yeah,
ferment out and dry it up. Some I don't know.
Well, the white magic of the sun from Voodoo, we rated a 3.
Generous. Mm. We're it's the holiday season.
I want to hear about Dave's self-made meat.
Self-made meat.
Yeah.
So, okay, so there's a company in Australia, and I think it's hypothetical at this point, but they're talking about making kits.
Australia because, is hypothetical?
Yes, hypothetical Australians.
Is that a different accent?
So you guys know, like, you know, lab-produced meat is a thing. Like, it's not fully commercialized or anything, but people are looking at
thousands of fast food places all over the world. Well,
but this is, like fully, like, you know, put some stem cells in a thing and add some stuff and shake it up and you got a steak. So a company is talking about
the shaken steak,
like where they send you a kit, you add your own cells to it and you can make your own little mini steaks out of yourself.
Honey, what are you doing in there? I'm making some meat for next week.
Honey, I'm making hors d'oeuvres. Hold on. Tell the guests just to hold on a little bit. So tell me how I taste.
Why is there the sound of farting coming from the kitchen?
But they say it's not cannibalism. But, like, how is that not cannibalism?
Well, it's yourself. You're not eating others. You're just, it's like gnawing on your own left arm.
So is that like kids in school who eat their own boogers are not cannibals, I guess?
No, that's just gross. And a core part of the curriculum in Alabama.
Bam, little, once again.
Thank you.
Little bits of self-made steak. It just. I mean, do we know what people taste like? Do we taste like chicken or do we taste more like beef?
I think it depends on your diet. You know, like, you know, if you're an IPA guy, do you taste a little hoppier, you know, a little more citrusy? And if you're like a stout drinker, maybe you taste a little more roasty.
No, I love what chocolate. Reverend Mark said as soon as we were talking about this. He's like, what would you pair with this?
Yes, what beer? Well, here on the table, what would you pair with self-made steak?
Well, you know, was it Rogue who made that beer from Beard?
Yeah.
The guy's beard cells.
Yeah.
The Beard beer?
Yeah, the Beard beer. So
Really sucked.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of the story of the cannibals sitting around the fire, and one said to the other, you know, I just really hate my mother-in-law. And the other one said, well, try the potatoes.
Damn. That was
that was classic Reverend Mark right there, all the way.
Give it, you know what? They get the slow clap right there.
If you just give him a little bit of ramp, just a little bit of ramp, I knew it was coming around.
See,
so.
See that's why we can't have him on every episode. Because you gotta space it out just enough so that you get the full impact when he's here. That was outstanding.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. So if this ever becomes a real thing, perhaps we will do a what do I pair with me?
Is there a market for this? That's what I want to know.
You know what? There's a market for it. I mean, have you not spent
maybe
time
you get a free
internet?
T-shirt if you do this. I created myself this week, or you know, it's like I'm served best rare. Or, you know, I really work well with hollandaise sauce. I mean, you know, it's like
I'm great with ketchup.
Yeah, it's endless.
As a sommelier, I'm just kind of sitting here baffled, going, "I really don't know, sir."
Now, would you would you serve yourself rare or well done?
I'm always well done.
Wow.
Exactly.
And there's a whole group of people in Greenland going, "Nope, I'm afraid not."
2 million people decided to go vegan just now.
Yeah, there you go. You know, it's like.
On the off chance.
It almost changes that conversation. It's like, honey, what's for dinner? I have a well-planned, you know, it's like, you know, Tuesday are burgers, you know, Fridays are steaks. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I prefer to serve myself first immersed in a sous vide.
Just so that the texture is just right.
Mm-hmm. Very tender.
I've got a hot tub, so.
Kindle tartar.
Turn up the heat.
Just like,
sous vide myself in that.
What are you doing out there, Kendall? Honey, I'm working on dinner.
If June comes out with a spoon while you're in the hot tub, she's like, needs more salt.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the hot tub slicing carrots, you know, like the old Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Maybe you should dump that Belgian wit in the tub, you know, maybe you can kind of work things up.
Oh gosh. We'll be back with more beer in just a brief minute. Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. So we are continuing our brewery takeover of Voodoo Brewery from Meadville, Pennsylvania. The next beer that we are going to talk about is Winona's Big Brown Ale.
Winona had herself a big brown ale and she threw it up in the air.
I'm glad Dave went there first because that's where my head was.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's a great reference.
Generous amounts of brown malt coupled with their house ale yeast result in a robust and smooth ale with just enough bitterness to balance it out with a malty-rich backbone and notes of coffee, chocolate, and toffee. And go.
I like this beer. It ain't happening.
So good.
Yeah. I think this was my favorite of the flight. And because I like myself to brew the big browns, and I think it really hit it. Just edged past the mild brown. You know, in terms of it having a lot more robustness to it, and yet it finished out very well with not being too sweet.
I think it's hard to make a really great brown ale if you are not using noble hops. Because I just think that you know, many of the noble hop, you know, choices for making a English brown ale is so much embedded in a lot of our taste DNA. And I say that, and yet the one beer that I always think of is definitely the Good People Brown Ale. Mm-hmm. Such a great, you know, brown ale, and it's one of those reference, you know, beers that is just kind of embedded, you know, when somebody says, I made a huge, big brown ale. And this didn't come close, you know, to the Good People, but I thought it had a really good malt backbone. It was really in balance. The thing that always happens with a lot of brown ales is that they go way too sweet, and this is not the case. So I love the fact that this is really well in check. It's not overdone, and I think it's a great use of American malt to really make it shine well.
I think partly like what you said about it's not too sweet. There's definite sweetness, but I think there's some roast in there that keeps it in check, kind of like what we were talking about with the West Coast IPAs, like that caramel sweetness with that would keep the hop bitterness in check. I think the roastiness keeps the sweetness in check here. It's definitely got some sweetness. Big beer. I do think brown ale has become a very blanket term because it can mean a lot of different things. The best brown ale I ever
had. I screwed up the wit.
Yeah. The best brown ale I ever had was at a real ale festival, and it was 2.8%. It was from England. It was like the most flavorful brown ale I've ever had.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this one I think is like a big dessert beer, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think of the against the grain, the brown note, but don't look at the can, please. Don't look at the can.
Yeah.
Don't look at the can on the can.
One of my favorite can art. Yeah, for sure.
Skid marks.
The aroma on this was beautiful. Yeah, it was like roasty or toasted dark bread. And I love a great brown ale, and it's hard to find a good one. I think my reference brown ale is Cigar City's Maduro.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
And this one's very good. A little bit of sweetness, but you're right. The roast and the bitterness really helped to balance this out.
Yeah.
And I got some residual toffee in there, but it wasn't overly where it would put it in to kind of like a Scotch ale type of category.
Yeah.
So there was a little of that going on. Delicious.
Juliana?
Yeah, this is big bowl flavor like I would expect from Voodoo because, you know, they don't skimp with any of their flavorings, if you will. But so still very approachable. I think for somebody who's been scared of dark beers, this is a really good one to try. Because it's balanced. You know, you're getting a good amount of roastiness, but you're getting that it's balanced by the sweetness, and I could drink a few of these. And it doesn't taste 7.5%.
No, not at all.
No. No, this one will sneak up on you, but this is a good fall, winter. I'm glad I have it, you know, at this time of year.
A lot of those big ABV browns get a little boozy, and you really pick it up. But this one, I don't know how they hid that 7.5, because that's a big brown ale.
Yeah, sure. What would you guys pair this beer with?
What would a cannibal pair this with?
I was thinking of a really bad NFL game. That's what I would pair it with.
Wow.
Kind of like watching the Steelers. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I said that out loud.
Banned once again.
Yeah. I always like brown ales with steak, especially you get a little char on that steak. And
Man steak?
Yep. And the flavors, you know, a lot of people are not.
Delayed reaction there. He's going to keep going
there for a bit. That's it. I'm too busy concentrating and not listening to the crazy stuff Dave is saying. But no, I found that the browns can go really good with red meat.
Yeah. I think for on the dessert side, I would have a chocolate cheesecake or something with this.
Oh, I just would go regular cheesecake, you know, like a white mascarpone, something like that. Because I think it would like bring out the roastiness even more. But really, really good. And, you know, brown ales are like so hard to find really good ones. So kudos to them for knocking this one out. We rated Winona's Big Brown Ale. And I wonder what Winona they're talking about. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. A 4. Now, let's go to a really cool name here, the Voodoo Love Child.
Love Child!
Stop it.
Sorry.
You were banned. I think there's a restraining order.
Banned once again.
It's their unique interpretation of the old world classic. They take their Belgian triple and delicately age it on cherries, raspberries.
Oh, Mike loves raspberries.
And passion fruit to produce moderately sweet fruit notes on top with their traditional Belgian yeast character.
I have to know, Kendall, did you immediately pick up the passion fruit?
I did. I can feel it.
You feel it in your toes.
Hey, we need to make t-shirts that say, I can feel the passion fruit.
It's done. Yeah, it's... It is so.
But
that will be a top seller.
Yeah. Really sweet. Way too much fruit going on, you know, for me. This is another beer that is just completely out of balance. I didn't like the way it started. I don't like the way it finished. I kind of felt like somebody had shoved a really bad piece of fruit stripe gum up my left cheekbone and said, what do you think of that big boy? You know, yeah.
Up his cheekbone. Yeah,
and I'm kind of a triple purist, and so it's the base beer to this, and to me, I don't like the triple being sweet. I want it dry and spicy to start with. Yeah. And then just leave the fruit out, please.
Kind of like in the last one where we said it was a big beer, but it didn't taste or feel big. This one I felt... the 9.whatever%.
Yeah, you get the warming effect, especially as it warms up.
Yeah, 9.2, yeah. This almost like dove into cough syrup territory for me. The cherries and the passion fruit was a little conflicting to me. You know what I mean? Like they were competing for my taste buds. And it was a little viscous on the tongue too. And just the sweetness was a little off for me because triples are gorgeous beers. Gorgeous beers, you know, with that candied, you know, flavoring, but this was just a little.
Also Pilsner forward. I mean, you got a lot of really good Pilsner going on in a triple. Just not there.
Yeah, and I'm almost tasting coriander like from that whipped beer. I'm getting, you know, residualness of that, and it's just a little off for me.
It's a little all over the place. There's a lot of things going on, and none of it's balanced. And it's got some of the same issues to me the Whitbeer had. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, of the flight we've had, I think the two Belgian styles were the weakest of the flight.
Because they said they used their Belgian
proprietary strain.
So I'm wondering if there's something about...
Well, that's where I would tell them to start is you need to head back to just making a solid triple and then work your way out because... I just don't think that happened. I'm thinking that the underlying base beer is the contributing factor to all this muddled mess, you know, that's going on.
I don't know if maybe they don't ferment at a high enough temperature or if there's something that they're not doing.
Both of these beers are just a little off.
Somebody's declaring victory a little too early.
Under attenuated, a little too...
Yeah. Fermenting a little warmer might help these.
Well,
yeah.
At the end, I mean, for me, you ferment a triple at... low ambient the first two or three days and then raise it up.
To give the yeast time to propagate and then you let it go crazy.
And that's why you get acceptable levels of diacetyl, actually.
Yeah.
But it's more spicy than it is fruity.
The IP lawyer in me just wanted to leap out of the woodwork and pounce on somebody because, you are not seeing things. There is another beer called Love Child from Boulevard, and I have no idea how they are not at odds, with each other. But Kendall said, if it's on a sticker, then it's okay. Is that what you said?
Yeah, because we know that IP issues are, permanent. So if you paint a can with it, that's an issue. But if you put it on a sticker that's not going to be around forever, that's fine.
Yeah, you just take it off.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of like Waffle House, eh? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But if you're into fruit, I mean, this is a very fruited beer.
Yeah, but I don't even know then. Like,
yeah, it's just...
I would just tell them, stop making this. This sucks. Make a great triple, and work your way forward from that.
But I don't know if I'd ever put cherries, raspberries, and passion fruit together in any beer.
Yeah.
Definitely, I would not.
No. I would put it in Mike's breakfast smoothie. Yeah.
Maybe they were trying to make
Dave's muddled mess.
Maybe they were trying to make a tiki drink out of the triple or something.
Let's not drag tiki.
More umbrella.
That's what's missing.
That's what's missing from this.
Stick an umbrella in a
maraschino cherry in it. Pour it over ice. That's what you really need on this.
Crushed ice.
Yeah.
All right.
Bit more hula.
So the Voodoo Love Child from Voodoo Brewery, we rated a 3.
Generous.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the last one of the flight, which is Tranquil Breezes. It's their West Coast style American Pale Ale, hopped with Azaka, Sultana, formerly called Denali, and Trident. It sounds like gangs or something. Bright, crisp, and refreshing.
Versus the Tridents.
This sessionable pale ale expresses distinct notes of pineapple, tropical fruit, and citrus with a hint of pine. But don't take our word for it. Michelle, Tamika, and Tanya say they can smell it from a mile away.
And so can we.
5.5% ABV.
A lot of hop flavor for 5.5% beer. Not bad.
Yeah, to me, this was kind of like their IPA, what I call the modern category, knocking back the caramel, going with the lighter malt, letting the hops stand out.
Yep.
Lots of tropical fruit, lots of citrus. There was a bit of that piney note, which I like in my pale ales and IPAs. I thought this one was also very good. A lot like, give it to these guys for their pale ale and IPA, but maybe not so much the Belgians. But they did a good job on these.
This was my second favorite in the flight.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. I wrote down burnt sugars, pine, bitter, crisp. It's a tad out of balance again. There was something that was not in check with all of that hop that was going on. There wasn't enough sugar or something else to kind of round this out, well enough for me. I have missed a memo along the way when somebody changed the name of Denali to Sultana. Because I had this beer this week that I was like, Sultana, I've never had this hop before. I didn't realize it.
It's Denali. Somebody,
was there like an IP lawyer that finally won something and they described it no longer as Denali? Is that it?
Maybe Jeep
sued. I had no idea.
I have no idea what's going on.
I almost can't keep up with hop names anymore.
I don't even try.
Except, Experimental Hop XB437. That's a hop.
Thank you.
There you go.
I'm glad you remember. What tattoo is that? Yeah, I wasn't particularly a fan. of this beer.
I liked it because it was a pale ale and not an IPA.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think
that's true.
I think the hops fell off a little bit, but I think that's, as it warmed up. But I would expect that in this kind of beer. But I think when I first had it, I think if you drink it cold, it's a pretty tasty beer. What'd you think, Juliana? She's looking up Denali, huh?
Yeah. No. So, okay, little side note here. Equinox and Stella and Denali all changed their names.
Huh.
Yeah. This happened.
Am I not on the email list anymore? Yeah.
This happened.
What the hell?
This year.
2020. Come on, man. Seriously.
I say that. Because I'm looking at an article from Beer Maverick that said that the hop breeding company announced that they were changing around numbers and letters and names. So hop Equinox breeders. Became Euconaut. Stella became Ella because of Stella Artois. And then Denali became Sultana.
Okay. So now what did you think of this beer?
So there's that. Just letting you guys know. For an APA, I liked it a lot. I think that their IPA game is really on point.
Mm-hmm.
I like the balance of this as well. I like having the pininess, like Kendall was saying. If I'm looking for an American pale ale, I want to have a little bit of pininess to it, like that kind of rounds it all out. I love the hop profile on it. And this is very drinkable. I'm a big fan.
Cool. I'm with you.
So we rated the Tranquil Breezes from Voodoo a 3. Well, that's going to do it for today. How about that? We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in. Just tap tap it in. Give it a little tappy.
Tap that tap subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes.
We'd love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day. Our handle is @sipsudsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans that like us and hate us on those social media platforms.
And also, do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online.
5 stars.
That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Well, good old boy Mike.
I almost made it through this flight.
Wow.
Hey, come back once again. Join us for another exciting episode of Sip Suds and Smokes. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark.
I'm still waiting for the flight attendant to show up, please.
She's coming. She's coming down the hall with your cocktail. Reverend Kendall.
Reverend Kendall.
I enjoyed it. It's always good to have some great stuff from Western PA.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy Dave.
Hey, check me out on Instagram @goodoldboydave.
Well, this is good old gal Juliana, and yes, I am from the east side of PA, and I have a little bit of love for the west side, I promise.
Little. Fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberries.
And where do I go from there? Yeah, keep on chuggling, folks, and catch us on our next episode.
One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.